Another lie that was told to us in the church is that speaking in tongues is the evidence of salvation. Speaking in tongues is the evidence of salvation. That's a lie. That's a lie. And they usually go to the book of Acts, and they show instance after instance of believers speaking in tongues. Let's look at the book of Acts for a second. Let's start with the beginning of it all. Acts chapter 2. Now let me say for the record, I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in it wholeheartedly. God has given me the gift of tongues on certain occasions. Not my regular gift. God has given me several other gifts also. But look what it says here. It says,
you said chapter 1?
Chapter 2.
2.
Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. The real amazing miracle of the day of Pentecost was not necessarily the speaking, it was the hearing. That is what really mattered. Now, why did God use speaking in tongues as a sign? I taught you this before. Yes, I did.
It's like to have a connection with him.
Nope. Nope.
Speaking to the Spirit.
Nope. Have you ever heard that if you're praying in tongues, you know, that you got a more intimate connection with God and you're...
Yeah.
Not true. Have you been told that praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit?
Yeah.
That's not true either. Praying in the Spirit is praying under the leadership and leading of the Spirit.
What?
In a language you understand. Paul said, I would rather speak one word in a known language than 1,000 in an unknown language. I remember when I was a babe in Christ, and I used to go to this Pentecostal church, and they were like, yeah, you know, we believe you saved Brother Pickett, but God hasn't given you the second blessing. And I was like, ooh, another blessing? I want another, but what's the second blessing? You know, he wants you to speak. We're going to get there one second. He wants you to speak in tongues. I said, okay, I'm up for anything. You know, if God's got it, I want it, you know. He said, okay, just begin rubbing my belly. Just say the first thing that comes to your mind. Hallelujah! No, don't say that. I said, why not? He said, no, just say whatever comes out of your mind. Praise the Lord! No, don't say that. No, just say, let's roll off your tongue. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. No, you're doing it wrong. Repeat after me. Watch. Repeat after me. Hubba bubba bubble gum. Or something like they were saying. I don't know what they were saying. And they wanted me to repeat after them. It was ridiculous. And then I thought, you know what? Y'all bunch of flim flam, shim sham. You know, went to my Bible and they said, oh yeah, you gotta speak. You don't have to speak. Here's the reason why for tongues. The book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. And you're going to love this. If you never heard this before, and I told Sister Juan, she has selective amnesia. She just don't want to remember it because it slipped all over her toes. I'm just kidding. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What'd you say?
Chapter 1.
1 Corinthians 11?
No, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's verse 22. Well, look at verse 21. It says, for after in that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. In other words, God is the source and author of all wisdom, correct? But then humans began to get so smart they thought there wasn't a God. Oh, there must be a Big Bang Theory. Or they would come up with these philosophies that had nothing to do with God, you know? And they would, because they were so wise. In Romans chapter 1, they said, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. For that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In other words, God, since you're so smart and you're so elegant, I'm going to fool you. I'm going to save you by a way you never thought. God could have said, I'm going to give you a mathematical test. And if by the end of your life you can answer this test, I'll save you. Because you're so wise, you deserve to go to heaven. But God said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to preach a very simple message. There was a carpenter who was God in the flesh. They beat him. They killed him. He died. He resurrected. He'll save your soul if you repent. That message, every single person in this world is geared to respond in a positive way to God. And it's the most foolish thing you can think of. It's a message of a man broken on a cross, buried in a tomb, who rose from the grave. But by that message, God saved them. But verse 22, I want you to hear. For the Jews require a, what's that?
Sign.
And the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks it's foolishness. The Jews want a sign. You know what a sign is? It's the Greek word Simeon. They want some kind of sign that God is moving. The gift of tongues in the book of Acts was God's sign that he was indeed moving. I want to flip through and show you some more stuff here. Now look here. Go back to Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from where? Heaven. And now, in the day of Pentecost, were they in the Bronx? No. Were they in Afghanistan?
No.
Where were they, Sister Karen? Yeah. They were in Israel. They were in Jerusalem. So they were Jews who were in an upper room gathering when something came from heaven. It was as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. What do you think that rushing mighty wind was? The Holy Spirit of God. And there appeared unto them, this is the key now, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were, so after the fire comes in the form of a cloven tongue. What's a cloven tongue? Split tongue, like a snake. It's cloven, split. As it's resting on them, the Holy Spirit fills them, and they begin to speak with other tongues. The Jews needed a sign. The day of Pentecost was a sign. Tongues are a sign. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Y'all gonna get this now. Y'all gonna see it now. Okay. Chapter 14. I think I went too far here. Look at chapter 14 and verse 21. Listen. For in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Isaiah prophesied that one day God was going to speak directly to the Israelites who only spoke Hebrew in Isaiah's day in other languages and other tongues, but they wouldn't listen to the message. Isaiah saw the day of Pentecost and the disciples speaking in other tongues. And as the church grew, what did Israel do? They persecuted them. They didn't listen. You catch that? Look at the very next verse here.
Yes.
It says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. We can't be using tongues as a sign to other believers that somebody is saved, because when tongues was given, it was given as a sign to the Jews that God was fulfilling prophecy. That's why it was a cloven tongue. A cloven tongue is an unclean animal. Hebrew was considered the clean, pure language of God to the Jews. But God spoke to them in all these different languages, because there were Jews from every nation under heaven, the Bible said, and they spoke different languages. And when they spoke and saw the fire, it was a sign that God was fulfilling prophecy. That's why God gave the early church the gift of tongues. And that's why in the beginning of Acts, where they lay their hands on people, wow, they get the Holy Spirit and they start speaking with what? other tongues, because it was to be a sign to the other Jews around them that God was in this movement. And they would say, hey, this is just like Isaiah said in chapter 28, verse 1. And then eventually, though, when the Gentiles are beginning to believe, they lay hands and say, will it work for a Gentile? Bam! Cornelius gets the Holy Spirit. And he begins to do what? Speak in tongues. Because Peter and the rest of the disciples, they were the unbelievers. They didn't think God could move among Gentiles. But then later on, you see them laying hands on people and they get filled with the Holy Spirit and they get bold. Where's the tongues? Because it was no longer needed as a sign to the unbelieving Jews. God had accomplished that. That's why Paul would say, look, this whole tongues thing is all well and good, but it means nothing in the church without an interpreter. Why would God give gifts to somebody when nobody interpret that gift to begin with? It's not the evidence of salvation. It was a purpose that God used in His Word, prophesied to be an evidence to the unbelieving Jews that God was among these people that believed in the slain and risen Messiah. That was their proof that God was among these believers. The cloven tongues, a cloven is unclean. They spoke the language of the unclean. It was a powerful testimony that God was in this movement. But Isaiah said they wouldn't even hear it.
Okay. I got a few questions.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm serious about this, Pastor. I am. When I got home, it happened in my house.
Not in the church?
Not in the church.
Nobody rubbed your belly?
Nobody did nothing.
Okay.
And I heard the wind.
Amen.
I heard the wind. And I mean, I was in the house, and I mean, it felt like I didn't have no bones. Nothing was holding me up. It's like I was a deflated balloon.
You know what? I had a very similar experience.
Okay.
I got in my room, I closed the door, and I said, God, I want this anointing and this blessing. When God filled me with the Holy Spirit, He gave me the gift of faith.
Yes. And
give me the gift of faith.
I was standing up one minute, whooping around the next, and on the floor the next. And I was just on the floor. And it was just coming out, and it could not stop. Okay? And I guess my husband got kind of like, let me go in the room. Everybody would. And I was just me and the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And my daughter called, and I was speaking, and she told me, she said, Ma, just sit down, just keep on it, and you know, it'll gradually.
Were you saved before then?
I was saved, but mind you, God did a quick work on me.
Well, let me just wait, but you were saved before then?
I was saved before.
And you knew you were saved before then?
I knew I was saved.
Okay, so you didn't need that as evidence?
I didn't need that as evidence. The thing that got some people were, why aren't you baptizing? You're speaking in tongues.
See, and that's ridiculous.
Okay.
We
and
add
that was something
so
else.
Much stuff. But I want you to give me your questions.
Okay.
Yes.
To get the understanding now, this happened to me by myself. Mm-hmm. But then the Holy Spirit, as I was reading in Corinthians, like you said, I also asked that I interpret. Mm-hmm. Because tongues can be anything. You can speak tongues. But when you can't
interpret. Every person that speaks in tongues should pray for interpretation. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, pray that you may interpret.
Okay.
Correct. That's important.
And now, there are times when I can sit here and somebody can speak in tongues. And I can interpret it. And then there's other times I can't interpret it.
Correct.
It's times I can even understand what I'm speaking in tongues. I can't understand, but I will speak it and then speak in English. I will speak it and then speak in English.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that I try.
At home or in the body?
At home.
Because it's supposed to be Noel asking.
At home. At home.
Because you're allowed to do it as much as you want at home. But in the church, you're not allowed to do it. How many people can speak in tongues in any service?
Okay.
Two or three at the most. and there must be an interpreter. And Brother Mike, if there be no interpreter, what is the name of the kids supposed to do? Keep their mouths shut.
Exactly.
How many churches abuse that and say, I don't care what the Bible says. It feels good. I'm going to do it. They're wrong. They're disobeying God. Period. That's dangerous. Was there a question in there? Or you just felt like sharing it?
Because when you're saying the whole thing with the upper room and why they were filled, it's almost like they needed those signs.
They needed those signs.
But then
they did.
What is it when you're in church and those signs are being done? We as believers don't.
What signs are being done? Are they speaking in
tongues,
two or three, the way the Bible way? They're doing it the Bible way. Paul tells you what will happen in 1 Corinthians 14. They will give glory to God because their hearts will be laid bare.
Right.
So yeah, if there's an unbeliever and you have somebody speaking in tongues and then somebody gives an interpretation,
right,
God will bear witness with that unbeliever that he's in the midst of this. And their heart will be cut to the core. So yeah, it can be a very powerful evangelistic tool to an unbeliever, but there must be a what?
Interpreter.
Must be interpreter.
So,
Stephanie and then Brother Mike.
Okay, so if a person is speaking in tongues, like you said, that back then was evidence for those that needed a sign.
Correct.
But for now, let's say if someone, let's say you went to the altar and you began praying and you started speaking in tongues, not loud where the whole world heard, but it's just like something that, you know, it's not something that evidence other people know that you're speaking. It's just that you're...
If you can't contain it, leave where people can hear you.
Say that again.
If you can't contain it, leave where people can hear you.
Leave?
Yeah, where people cannot hear you.
Wow.
If there's no interpreter. Don't violate that rule. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and like I said, I know many good churches that the first thing they do is they ask, is there an interpreter in the house? And they're not talking about between Spanish and English.
Right, right.
They're talking about an interpreter of tongues.
Right, right.
And if there is, then they set up a mic on two sides of the stage. And they open for their church to have a worship service. And they'll get three people at the most lined up on one mic. And they'll speak in tongues. And the one interpreter will be over there interpreting for the church. You know, and it's awesome. I was the unbeliever. Ooh, I don't believe this can really work. And I was cut to the core.
And
Lord have mercy, she's talking about me. I don't even know the woman, and she's talking about me. But it was like, it was awesome. You know, and I know the power of God. God can do that.
And you said a person that's speaking in tongue, they cannot interpret for the church.
No,
right?
No.
It needs to be someone else.
It has to be somebody else. Why? What is the interpreter? I call it the watchdog. That's right. How do you know somebody's not saying in a foreign language, Jesus is cursed? Or, you know, you need to all buy waffles at Roscoe's. You don't know what they're saying. You need the interpreter.
Okay, so can I ask another question?
Sure.
So, okay, just like Sister Wanda was saying, because I remember, you know, before I was already saved, but when I first started speaking, it was in my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to bring it to one of the leaders from my church way when I began, they was like, oh, no, you didn't speak in tongues. So I said, oh, okay. But then when I went back home again, it happened again. Now, what would, if something like that is happening, and what is the difference, like, why, like, let's say you speak tongues, I speak in tongues, or Wanda speak in tongues in your home. What is it that, is it edifying God, or what is it, like, you understand what I'm saying?
No, it edifies your spirit, but your mind gets nothing.
Okay.
That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14.
So that's between the spirit and God.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a good feeling, but you're getting nothing out of it. Paul says, pray that ye interpret. So even while you're speaking in tongues at home in private, ask God, give me the interpretation of what I'm saying. Because it's better for you to pray in your own language and edify both your mind and your spirit than just your spirit without your mind.
So when you're in your private, you can ask God to ask you to interpret what you're saying.
Correct.
When you're out in the church and you're speaking, it is not for you.
It's for somebody else.
Okay.
Unless now, can I just take that? Let's say you understand, you interpret tongues. Okay, but you've been doing it where you're doing it in your house. But then there might come a time that someone in your congregation, okay, is speaking in tongues, and you're able to understand.
Right, you're.
Oh no, that, yes.
It'll go beyond your own gift a lot of times. Yeah. Not every time, but a lot of times, as the Lord wills, as the Spirit wills, as Brother Mike and then to Jasmine.
You know, I listened to Paul and the things that he was saying about the gifts, and I got into this thing about the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, and I was very disappointed because I'm saying to myself, well, you know, am I that bad that I can't get this?
Right.
And
my
church.
That condemnation.
Before I was really interested in it, the pastor at my church, you know, had like a singing rehearsal, like a choir rehearsal, talking about she can teach, you know, someone how to say tongues. But Paul said it had to be a gift.
It has to be a gift.
From what I was...
So common,
know,
brother.
I was so angry at it, but then I said, you know, God said to have the love, have charity.
Correct.
You know, make that, you know, your aim, your goal.
Correct.
You know, so I was saying to myself that, you know, probably because of everything that I've done in my life, you know, I don't deserve this. You know,
nah,
and I should. And I should, you know.
But that's normal, though, because that's how they make you feel.
Right.
Like, if you speak in tongues, you're a super Christian. Oh, I'm super Christian now, and you are a lesser Christian because you can't do it. You might not even be saved, and that's not cool.
But the thing that I was... But, you know, I left it alone, you know, and I'm really on this charity thing, you know, this love thing.
Because love is greater than it all.
But it's ironic that... they was talking about speaking this at home because I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm off and on in the Bible all day long.
Yeah.
But I'm watching TV and you know, I'm whispering this tongue thing in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on for me to notice it like about 10 or 15 minutes. And I'm saying, well, don't tell nobody this. Half of the stuff that happens to me, I don't tell people because people think I'm...
I understand, brother. Believe you me, I understand.
You know, so half of the things happen, I don't mention, especially when it's about Christ. But you know what I'm saying? I was like, nah, this ain't true. So I left it alone after about 15 or 20 minutes, you know, I could try to focus on the TV real quick now. The next day it happened again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then like I said, I don't tell nobody about it. Me and my pastor's pretty close, but I don't know, sometimes he be saying you know, he be looking like, you know, hold on for a minute, because you haven't earned this yet, or, you know, you haven't done enough studying.
Yeah, see, nah, that's...
not here yet.
Yeah, that's not how it's supposed to be. And see, here's the thing, though. I always challenge people on this. Ask for a better gift. I remember when I was asking God for gifts, and the first gift he gave me was faith. I can't tell you anything like it. It was phenomenal. I mean, my faith level increased. God gave me the gift to help other people's faith level increased and how to just put their eyes on God and believe and trust. It was an awesome gift. I asked God for more gifts because God said, you can ask for more, you covet the best gifts. And when God gave me the gift of tongues, I actually gave it back to God. I want something better. And that may offend certain people, but I want something better. I want to be able to have the gift of healing. That's what I was really wanting. The gift of healing. I want to be able to pray. And Sister Karen says, you know, and bam, and there goes healing. I want the gift of miracles, you know, where people can come to me and we pray about it and God, turn it around. I still covet those best gifts. I want those gifts, Brother Mike. I want the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. I want the gift of healing. I want the gift of miracles. I want the gift of prophecy. I want to be able to do a great work for God. So I covet those. I desire those. And so God, I'm not interested in the gift of tongues. I'm not. Because I don't care what people say. I don't care. Oh, he's not saved. He don't practice tongues. I don't care what you say. I know that I'm saved. I got the fruit of the Spirit in my life to prove that I'm saved. But I want a greater gift. I want something. I'm just, you know, I can covet that and it'd be okay. You know? What a good God we serve. Sister Jasmine?
I noticed something about me as, you know, as I go to church and giving my life to Christ, that I am talking in tongues. I don't know. I can't translate it. But it's like when I'm in that moment of prayer, it happens, but it be loud, you know.
Are you home?
No, I be in the church. And I mean, I can't control. It's not me.
Then you walk out.
Okay.
Then step out the sanctuary. Go into the ladies' room. go into a small closet somewhere. And guess what also? I'm glad you mentioned that also. Even though you may feel so overwhelmed, you have the ability to stop it. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, the gift that God has given you is subject for your use. You can tell God, God, cease it. Give me this in English, or give me this in Spanish, something that you would understand. And God will switch gears and give it to you. And then you'll be praying in your known language. And then you can go back to the congregation if there's no interpreter, and then pray in your known language. Yeah. I can't give you that value again. Praying in a language you know is greater than praying in a language you don't know. Because as long as the Spirit is leading you in that prayer, praying in a language you know is 1,000 times greater than in a language you don't know. But a lot of people, they practice praying in tongues at home and it feels good, but they're not getting anything out of it. Because if the Holy Spirit is indeed speaking through them, I want to know what the Holy Spirit has to say. You know what I'm trying to say? I want to know. If the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me something, Lord God, put it in a language I can understand.
I'll be right with that.
Yeah, it's important. It's really important.
You know, Dr. Gibbs, you have nobody inside your head before you get ready to start to pray. And you start asking to
pray. No, but I don't do that.
Yeah.
Even once in a while, I did pray for this, because when I started going to the Harvest, I was praying that I wanted to speak in tongues. Why? Because the church I used to go to before, they used to say, the pastor used to say, you know, we want everybody to speak in tongues. And I never could have do that.
Right.
So now I started going to this other church, Sister Stephanie, where she's at, and I was praying, God, I would like to speak in tongues. But that was just me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm noticing that now I am speaking, but controlling it and stopping it, sometimes I can't, because I really can't. And I haven't practiced that at home. It's not like I think I'm going to start talking like this. I'm not practicing that. It's just having all that.
Listen to this verse. Correct. 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 And they can't control it. Look what Paul says. So let me give you this verse here and then we'll close out. Which one? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, and I love this. Let's start right down here. Verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. One of the greatest tragedies in the King James is putting the word unknown in front of tongue. Because that has led to so much false doctrine. Because Paul says, really, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. The unknown is a King James translator edition. How do you know that? Because it's italicized. And people have made a whole doctrine on the word unknown. Because a tongue is actually a human language that's spoken. Not a language that's spoken on Mars or Venus or somewhere else. It's a human language. Oh, no, but it's unknown. No, it's not unknown. It's a tongue. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. People understood what was going on. Only the speaker did not understand what was going on. Look here. It says, if I pray in an, which is unknown again, in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing that he understandeth not what thou sayest? In other words, how can you bless anybody if the Spirit is indeed moving in you? If you're speaking in a language, not an unknown tongue, in a language that nobody else understands, how can anybody be blessed? You're better off with understanding. Watch here. It says, for thou givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. In other words, you feel it and you're giving praise to God because it feels good, but nobody else is getting anything out of it. That's why I can't stand when I'm listening to gospel music and somebody is speaking in tongue and there's no interpreter. That frustrates me. It's like I want to fast forward the next track because it's pointless what they're doing. It may feel good for that person on stage, but I got nothing out of it. I got no understanding. I know what they're saying. It might as well be speaking Swahili. But look here. It says, verse 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Look at verse 19. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown, which should be, or in a tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice or evil things you could be children, but in understanding, grow up and be a man. It's time for our churches to grow up and be men. Stop trying to be childish. I like the way grandmama did it. It feels good. I like it because we do it this way. Quit it. Stop it. Stop it. God's desire is that we pray in the Spirit and pray with what? Understanding. Pray that you may interpret. It may feel good. Get something greater from God. God, give me the understanding of what I'm saying. And when you begin to say it in English, you'll be like Sister Wanda. Oh, where's my pen? This is good stuff. This is not me. This is all the Lord. And it's awesome. Let God give the interpretation. And then watch what he does. Sister Wanda, Sister Jasmine, and then we're done.
Okay. Well, Pastor, because there's been times when my anger flares up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about ready to call you every name in the book.
Who, me?
But guess what could happen?
Yeah.
I will start speaking in tongues. I will have to move away, back up from you, go in the bathroom somewhere, and just...
So what's the best thing for you to do? What's the better level? What's the more excellent way?
I'm saying, it has been times I've been like, I think, okay. Close the door. Yeah, we better leave your mother alone right now. And, I mean, this is in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there was times when I could not, it would just come out.
Right.
When I would get real heated.
Right. It would help calm you down. Yeah. But you got to get that.
And it would be like, I'm not kidding you, I'm talking about somebody be like a zombie.
Amen.
I had to go. I had to leave the situation. I had to go into another room. I could not stand to be there in the presence of that person.
Yeah.
With the way I was feeling.
Well, God is doing the work.
Yes,
praise God.
And I do believe that tongues, it may not be in the word of God, but it will help you in certain, it will,
let me refine you.
Okay.
When you cough, do you suffer from coughing or do you suffer from sickness?
Sickness.
Okay. Tongues is a symptom. What's helping you is the Spirit. Okay?
Right.
That's what's helping you.
Right.
That's who's helping you.
That's who's helping
Yeah.
you.
Yeah. So whether he gave you the tongues, or whether he gave you faith, or whether he gave you just a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom to understand exactly what's going on, it's still the same Spirit that would have helped that remedy.
Mm-hmm.
So don't focus on the symptom. Focus on the sickness, or the, which is the root of it, which is the Spirit. Yeah. Which is not sickness, but you know, the root of it all. See?
Yeah. Okay.
Sister Jasmine?
Is it true that there's four different ways that you can speak in tongues? One is to worship, the other one is like spiritual, you know, like four different ways.
Not in the Bible.
No?
No, not at all. The Bible makes no distinction. It's just the gift. A gift that when you have the interpreter is a powerful evangelism tool for unbelievers.
Is that for the edification of the church?
Yeah. No.
Tongues is not for the edification when the interpretation of the tongue.
The prophecy is for edification. Prophecy is for edification. And when you have the interpreter with the tongues, you pretty much have the same thing as prophecy. Because you'll edify people because the interpreter is there. Let me see here. Let me give this one last verse. We can all stand. We get ready to get out of here. Okay. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 14 again. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues like many churches do, and there come in those that are unlearned or or unbelievers, the Bible says, will they not say that ye are mad? And what do they say? Those Christians are crazy. But if all prophesy, and there come one that believeth not, or one unlearned, and he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. What does that mean? It means that the Spirit is able to speak to him directly, and he's convicted, and he feels like, oh my goodness, I'm judging that all of y'all here are of God. God is among you. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How in then, brethren, when ye come together, that every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine, hath a tongue, a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. So that's how that all ties in together.
But you know, Dr. Pickett, that is so, so scary that, you know, and it just even made me even think more. That's why we really have to pray.
That's correct.
To pray and really seek God and let God really speak into our hearts, because if they have all of these pastors and all of these people that are teaching people false.
Yes. Yep.
When the Spirit of God is in you, you know what is and what is not of God.
That's right.
It's so, I mean, it's a scary thing, because you can think that someone is really teaching you something and you're being lost.
Yep.
But not only that, you're a babe in Christ, as I was. Like I said, God did a quick work on me. I didn't know what was going on.
Amen.
I wasn't in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I ran from the church because of this very thing. Because I felt that there was no man that could teach me the word of God. Okay? And if he was trying to teach me, he was teaching me the wrong way. So I stayed out of church. But it was so funny. I went to this little storefront church, and God did a quick work. As soon as I was up there and I really accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I mean, I went home and stuff started falling off of me like mad.
Amen. Thank God for that.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, while it was happening, I wasn't a learned. I did not know.
Correct.
Because I wasn't picking up the word of God.
And you know the thing about it? Many people in the church are just babes in Christ.
Okay.
Drinking a lot of milk, choking on the meat, and don't know how to grow teeth.
And then I was the same thing. The one of the sisters, the very sister that told me where the church was, told me, what are you doing? You speaking in tongues and you're not baptized? I don't believe that.
The awesome thing is, in the next three things we're going to cover, that's one of the topics is baptism. A lie that's told that baptism will save you.
You cannot be baptized speaking in tongues.
Yeah, we're going to get into all that.
Okay. So then that scared me where I didn't want to speak in.
We're going to get into that next week. I'm going to give you a cliffhanger, Brother Mike, and we're going to come back. This way, make sure that you want a reverend come on back. I know you're going to be here. I know you're going to be here. Amen. Praise God. Let us all stand.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, let God be true and every man a liar. I pray that you would make our hearts good ground for your word and the seed of your word. Let your spirit germinate that word. Let us grow in your word and produce fruit for your glory. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here in Christ, that you may bless and edify each and every one of them and their families and their friends. Use them this week, Lord, to tell somebody about Jesus. And I pray that you will show them that they are powerful tools in your kingdom that have value and purpose and can be used greatly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow, very good.